I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our new podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. We're both journalists who moonlight as poker players, and that's the lens we're going to use to approach this entire show.
We're going to be discussing everything from high-stakes poker to personal questions.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
And of course, we'll be talking about the election, too.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show. And we got all kinds of stuff. Looks like Bud Light is paying the penalty for a bad decision. We're going to make fun of the Tennessee people. We'll get to some emails this hour. Some guy's getting a divorce. That's sad, but we'll talk about that. All that and more still to come. But you know what time it is? Because it's not really Monday, but kind of Monday. It's Tuesday, but it's my Monday. Either way, every Monday at this time, we do Medal of Honor Monday. We generally don't like to skip that, so we're rolling it out on a Tuesday. And remember, not only can you email me love, hate, and death threats and ask Dr. Jesse questions for Friday, you can email me your Medal of Honor recommendations if you have one you like. Yes, Chris has a fat stack of them, and I like that. We like that. Anyway, we got this email. Jesse, in 2008, I had the privilege and honor to be a docent. Chris, what's a docent? D-O-C-E-N-T? Anyway, to be a docent at the Denver Congressional Medal of Honor Society Convention. I got to meet over a dozen living Medal of Honor recipients in one place at one time. Gosh, that's cool. To a man, they were humble servants who only did what they had to do to save their fellow Americans. Okay, Chris said it's a teacher or lecturer. Chris, a docent, in case you don't know what it means, is a teacher or lecturer, buddy. Anyway, as a docent, he said it again. I know he did that on purpose. I was tasked with promoting the book Portraits of Valor, which contains photos and stories of living Medal of Honor recipients at the time of publication. I know this book, by the way. One recipient in the book, PFC Raymond Clausen, holds the distinction of being the only recipient to be busted in rank. For you civilians, that means he lost his rank. He got busted down. I couldn't find the details of his court-martial, but I found it interesting. So his name, anyway, whatever. Clausen is the guy's name. And without further ado, let us give a little salute to this dude.
Ready, aim,
honoring those who went above and beyond. It's Medal of Honor Monday.
This took place January 31st, 1970 in Vietnam. For conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity at the risk of his life above and beyond the call of duty while serving with Marine Medium Helicopter Squadron 263 during operations against enemy forces, participating in a helicopter rescue mission to extract elements of a platoon which had inadvertently entered a minefield while attacking enemy positions, PFC Clausen skillfully guided the helicopter pilot to a landing in an area cleared by one of several mine explosions. Gosh. With 11 Marines wounded and one dead, and the remaining 8 Marines holding their positions for fear of detonating other mines, PFC Clausen quickly leaped from the helicopter and, in the face of enemy fire, moved across the extremely hazardous mine-laden area to assist in carrying casualties to the waiting helicopter and placing them aboard. Despite the ever-present threat of further mine explosions, he continued his valiant efforts, leaving the comparatively safe area of the helicopter on 6 separate occasions to carry out his rescue efforts. On one occasion, he was carrying one of the wounded. Another mine detonated, killing a corpsman and wounding 3 other men. Only when he was certain that all Marines were safely aboard did he signal the pilot to lift the helicopter. By the courageous, determined, and inspiring efforts in the face of the utmost danger, PFC Clausen upheld the highest traditions of the Marine Corps and of U.S. Naval Service. What would that be like to find yourself in a minefield? Think what that would be like. Think about willingly putting yourself in a minefield over and over again. Every step, just wincing, just wondering. And remember, those I don't know the exact situation of this one, but I do know a bit about Vietnam just from reading and stuff. They had all kinds of different mines. They had anti-tank mines. They had all kinds of different mines, but they had many mines that were really, they were just kind of jerry-rigged off of stuff that they had found. And lots of them weren't even lethal. And that may sound good, but sometimes that's not good. Sometimes it's just, it blows off a foot or a leg. They would set some up too that would just blow up things like glass or nails. So it would blind you, would just explode in your face. It was really horrible. I guarantee it was a loud, horrible, horrible scene there that guy threw himself into over and over and over and over again. All right. I'm going to get to some emails before I get to the Bud Light stuff and what's taking place in Nashville and all these things. So, dear Shogun, you're right about illogical voters casting their ballots for nonsensical reasons. But regarding the Wisconsin election, that wasn't the only factor, and I think you know it. I doubt very much that you believe Eau Claire and Madison and Milwaukee actually had 80 to 90% turnout in an off-year election. But if you do, then I'd ask you to, if you'd like to spend any of the proceeds from the anti-communist manifesto on this bridge I'm selling. I know we don't always want to cry foul, and fraud isn't the only problem, but listen, thank you. The Chicago machine is right next door, and it's not really a stretch. Buenas tardes, and thanks for reading. Look, you've never seen me run away from the election fraud stuff. Democrats cheat in elections. They've been cheating for a long time in elections. I don't need any other information, but I have a bunch of other information, but I know all I need to know when they don't want you to have to show ID to vote. They tell you they're cheating in elections. Showing ID? What? That's racist. The only reason you wouldn't want people to have to show ID to vote is because you want to cheat in the election. There's not a second reason. I know they cheat. And I know they cheated in 2020. Because of our idiotic COVID policies that said you should stop an economy, shut down a country for a virus that virtually everyone survived. They took all the cheating they'd been doing in these super blue areas, and it simply gave them the opportunity to ramp it up. No. Drop boxes here. No, everyone vote by mail. No. It allowed them to take the skills they had learned from years and years of cheating and become super pros at it. I know all that. I have acknowledged all that and will several times over. However, this is not going to be something I will allow anyone in my presence to use as an excuse every time we lose an election. Now, it may be a perfectly valid reason for national elections. I mean, there's a chance we're screwed forever. But when I tell people to run for school board and city council and get involved and run for your state house and run for sheriff, I will inevitably get people on the right say, oh yeah, what's the point? Oh yeah, we're going to vote harder. They're just cheating. Brother, they're not cheating. You're lazy. Now, don't get me wrong. They're cheating, but your local elections aren't going the way they should go because you and I, we're not taking them seriously. We're too lazy. We don't care enough. We want some magic pill or just Trump get elected and fix it all, or DeSantis get elected and fix it all. We don't want to put in the work. And so now the ultimate cop out for the lazy GOP voter is, huh, you want me to run for school board? Whatever. They're just cheating. No, you're lazy. We can't use that as a cop out for every election we lose. I have been lazy, and let me explain why. I think I told you this Friday. But I told you about that city council event I went through the other night. And then the guy told me my particular neighborhood in the area I live, 93% Republican. We have a school board that needs fixed in my community. And I live in a red, red community. We have a school board that needs fixed. He texted me and was telling me about who votes. My 93% Republican neighborhood doesn't show up to vote. They vote at a lower percentage than all the rest of the area. If they showed up and voted, I'm not even talking about activism. Not even talking about running for office. If they simply showed up and voted in these local elections, gosh, you think my area is red and anti-communist now? It would be amazing here. They show up at a lower rate than every other part. That's my fault. Now, it's their fault. I'm voting in the elections, don't get me wrong, but I personally, because I am a resident there, I personally have to take ownership for some of that. I've been riding my friends, but apparently I need to do more to govern my backyard, to take care of my area. These people are not showing up, and I've been too lazy, and I haven't done enough, and I'm going to be doing more. We need to do more. We can talk about election cheating and things like that, and we should. I'm not saying dismiss these things. We are not going to allow this to be the ultimate cop-out for why we didn't get involved. Oh, I would run for school board, but oh, well, they're just cheating. Lazy. Lazy. The communist cares enough to show up so he can destroy it. We need to care enough to show up to keep him from doing so. That's just a fact. Now, as you know, you need to go knock on doors. You need to go meet people. You need to go get out in your community. We need to have a sense of community, but we also need to make sure we're keeping ourselves protected at all times. Do we not? You have a hero gun. I love your emails. You can send me your emails. Send me your emails when you tell me you got a hero gun and hero arrow. I love it because you tell me you carry it on you. And allow me to tell you about the hero arrow. You know about the hero gun with the pepper balls and non-lethal gun. The hero arrow, remember, it's a little smaller and it's not shaped like a gun. It's shaped like a TV remote. I love this for women. I love it for everybody. I carry one too. I really love it for women because women don't want to carry a gun lots of times, or it's too bulky, or, you know, I've just got my yoga pants on. Man, this thing fits in a little pocket, a little mini hot chick purse. Get a hero arrow, okay? Pepper gel that'll put somebody down, only it's non-lethal. Doesn't require a concealed carry permit. Go to hero2020.com, code Jesse for a special discount. State restrictions may apply.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. And before we get to this, you know what? I can't wait anymore. We got to read this guy's email. It's just sad, and I don't know what to say. We're going to read this email, and then we're going to move on and talk about why Republicans need to be shaken awake, especially mega donor Republicans. You and I have an obligation to start shaking these Republicans awake and turning them into anti-communists. Before we get to that, the subject of this email is, I accidentally married a communist. Sorry, I didn't mean to laugh. Dear Jesse, I met my wife back in 2008-ish in college. We had similar opinions on most things. She was always a hardcore abortionist, and I've always been a staunch Second Amendment person. We have always agreed that we were never going to have kids together because I never wanted kids and neither did she. I know your opinion on abortion. I get it. She always tried to guilt me into having a nuanced opinion versus the me versus them. I now know after our last fight, there is no middle ground per her attacks. We have had a few major fights in the last year of her calling me a Nazi and me trying to explain my opinions. I don't think it's going to last after 11 years of marriage. She's more concerned with killing babies, and I believe strongly in my right to defend my life with the Second Amendment. I fear it's heading towards the inevitable. I know what's going to happen, and it's going to suck. Sometimes standing for what you believe means standing alone. I hate this new America. Regards, and his name is Dan. First thing, and most important thing, by far most important thing. Say a prayer for Dan and his family. Say a prayer for Dan. Just say a prayer for him. That's one. Two, let's discuss what's happening and why it's happening. In communist countries, families turn on each other. You longtime listeners of the show will know how often we've talked about things like, in the Soviet Union, they made a hero of this boy who may or may not have even existed, but his dad was a farmer, if I remember the story right. And his dad held back some grain, I believe it was, from the state. He was supposed to turn everything over and held back some grain. I'm paraphrasing this, but the boy turned his father in to the state. And then I believe it was his uncle killed the kid. That's the story. And what happened was the Soviet Union took this story and they lionized this child to the population, telling people culturally through plays and music and things like that, yes, the state is most important. Turn in your parents. Turn in your wife. Turn in your husband. Turn in your daughter. I would, that might not even be the creepiest one. The creepiest one might be the Stasi. The Stasi was the secret police in East Germany when they were communist. The stories, if you ever read Stasi stories, it was simply the norm. Your husband would turn you in. Your wife would report you to the Stasi. They would turn in their own children. Children would turn in their parents. There's at least one January 6th guy I know of who got busted because his crazy liberal son turned him in. His own father. I know this doesn't make this guy's situation any easier. And it's not, look, it's not going to be easy to hear. But you prioritize when your nation degrades to a certain level. You will prioritize the state, the group over all. And I want to explain this mentality because it is very, very difficult for people like you, for people like me to understand this. You value freedom. We have to understand and accept how many people out there not only don't value it, they despise it and they think it's deadly. I want you to think about it. Think about it this way. I want you to think about a herd of wolves, pack of wolves. Okay, there's a pack of wolves out there. And the pack of wolves believes that all the strength is in remaining together as a pack. And they believe if one wolf runs off on his own, wants to go chase rabbits, or he wants to go poop in the weeds, or whatever he wants to go do, if one wolf runs off, then him running off will endanger the lives of the entire pack. And so anytime any wolf steps out of line, steps even 5 feet away from the pack, he gets attacked. And if he gets far enough out of line, the pack will actually join together and attack him and kill him. And as they're killing that wolf, this is not really what wolves do, by the way, but as they're killing that wolf, they will be convinced they are the good guys and he's the bad guys because he was endangering the entire pack and we were going to die if he went and chased rabbits. So we had to kill him. I know you don't want to think that your liberal Aunt Peggy is this way. But I'm telling you, you have people in your life who will turn you into the state without a moment of hesitation. They will. And they are marching where they're told. They march where the news tells them to and where the education system tells them to. And they march where entertainment tells them to. And they march where the president of the United States tells them to. And they march in one direction. And you, in your freedoms, you don't understand. In their eyes, in their mind, you and your freedoms, You're going to get everyone killed. I get him. We have to stop him. That's why I've said over and over and over again, we have to put down this myth of the friendly liberal. Joe, he's just a little left. No, they were that way 20, 30 years ago. You don't have any friendly liberals anymore. All these people would throw you in a dark hole for what you believe. And they'll believe they're the good guys while they do it. You want an example? Want a great example? I give it to you in a second, but look, make sure you're practicing with your weapon, all right? I pray to God the day never comes you have to use your weapon on some nutball out there shooting people up or who knows. But make sure you're ready if the day ever comes. You know how much better it feels? It feels good when you know how to use a weapon and you carry it on you. I do. You know that. You know how much better it feels when you know if I have to draw this thing, I can hit what I'm aiming at. It's a sense of security when you're out and about. It gives me a sense of security, a sense of calm. I practice with my Mantis X to make sure I'm ready. I don't hope. Hope is not a plan, as the old saying goes. I practice so I know. Do you know? We must practice. The Green Berets use Mantis X. The Marines use Mantis X. Go to MantisX.com. You dry fire practice right there in your home. 10 minutes, 20 minutes. MantisX.com. Hang on.
I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. Both Nate and I are journalists who moonlight as poker players. We've both won, and I have to say lost, hundreds of thousands of dollars playing poker. And poker is a lens that we're going to use to approach this entire show, because poker isn't just about playing cards. It's actually about how to make good decisions. It's an entire framework for thinking about the world.
In addition to poker, we'll be talking about the wide world of gambling, so sports betting, for example, plus the news, politics, it is an election year, and personal decisions, too.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
Tune into Risky Business every Thursday.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. I almost forgot. Joe Biden was asked about running in 2024.
I think he couldn't have been more clear here.
Are you saying that you would be taking part in our upcoming election in 2024?
Well, I'll either be rolling an egg or, you know, being the good, you know, the guy who's pushing them out.
Come on.
Yeah, what else do you need to know? Am I right? All right, quit. Before we get back to the emails, I have to do a couple different things. One, there's a clip that's been going around today. I want to make sure I give credit where it's due. There's a social media account called End Wokeness. I don't know who this person is or whatever, but I don't steal other people's work. I didn't find this. You remember that Justin Pearson guy? He's one of those clown Tennessee state legislature guys, and he was the one giving the speech the other day, which you'll hear in a moment if you don't remember it. Well, this End Wokeness account went and found Justin Pearson, as he normally talks, from 2017. What you're going to hear is a clip of him in 2017, and then believe me, it won't be any mystery. You'll know when it transitions to him in 2023. You've probably heard this clip today, but I've got a little different take on it. Here he was.
Justin J. Pearson, and I'm running for president of BSG. There are a few reasons that we're running this campaign this year. One has to do with representation. How can we represent all voices in a conversation? I wanted to do this by partnering with organizations from the Boone Democrats to the Boone Republicans. I want to bring together different voices, dissenting voices, voices that may be more liberal or more conservative, in order that we can reach a point of sort of the radical middle.
Seem like the NRA and gun lobbyists might win. But
I just wanted you to know, this is the same person.
Oh, that was good news for us. I don't know how long this Saturday in the state of Tennessee might last. But oh, we have good news, folks. We've got good news that Sunday always comes.
I'm sorry. All right, quit. Now, everyone today has been riding him about that, calling him an actor, all these other things, and all that stuff's fair. He deserves all the criticism in the world for the inauthenticity. Unauthenticity? Chris, is it un or in? Inauthentic? Chris, I don't need you to do the voice inflection thing where you're questioning it too. I'm questioning it. Michael, you went to college. What is it? Inauthentic? Inauthentic. Well, yeah, but he asked back, Michael. I asked, and then he asked me back. When I ask, I need answers. Gosh, what's wrong with you two? Don't you know?
We're changing people's lives.
Now, anyway, so he's being mocked for the inauthenticity. But let me ask you something. Let's have a talk here. Let me ask you something. If I started selling, let me see, if I started selling something where you ate it, it's a pill, and if you took the pill, your nose would turn green. It would turn really ugly green if you ate this pill. And I go out there and I market it, buy Jesse's green nose pill. I would be ridiculous, right? That would be a stupid product and it would be ridiculous. But what if I sell a million of them in the first week? Am I still ridiculous? Or is the population ridiculous? I'm going to play this for you again. One, because it's hilarious. But two, you can mock this guy all you want. Why is there a market for the second guy over the first guy. Because he switched for a reason. He was obviously a very normal human being. Probably had a decent background of some kind. Clearly well-read, well-spoken. And then he turns into some knockoff version of Martin Luther King Jr. Who's the sucker? Is it him or the people who prefer the second
Justin guy? J. Pearson. And I'm running for president of BSG. There are a few reasons that we're running this campaign this year. One has to do with representation. How can we represent all voices in a conversation? I wanted to do this by partnering with organizations from the Boone Democrats to the Boone Republicans. I want to bring together different voices, dissenting voices, voices that may be more liberal or more conservative, in order that we can reach a point of sort of the radical middle.
Seem like the NRA and gun lobbyists might win. But oh, that was good news for us. I don't know how long this Saturday in the state of Tennessee might last. But oh, we have good news, folks. We've got good news that Sunday always comes.
Praise Jesus. Now, who's the sucker? Why is there no market for the first guy? There's a big market apparently for the second guy. Got himself elected. Who's the sucker? If Jesse's green nose pills sell a million in the first week, am I still the sucker after that millionth sale? Doesn't someone else become the sucker? In case you're wondering, he was, of course, invited into church, and I'm going to play this little portion, and this little portion is for all you pastors out there who listen, who don't ever want to get political from the pulpit. What about my tax status? It's funny, the communists and all the black liberation theology churches, they have no issue politicking from the pulpit. But, hey, I don't want to interrupt your cheek turning.
I'm so glad to be in the house of the Lord with you this morning. Would you mind going ahead and praying with me now, Mother God, Creator God, loving God, Holy God? Take this, your servant made from dust, and connect it with the raw materials of stardust to speak in this moment, to say something that brings forward the word you placed into my heart. I accept my unworthiness for such a
Oh my gosh, I can't do it anymore. I'm sorry, there was another minute left on that. I can't do it anymore. I just can't do it. But again, you voted for this. You voted for this campaign. Accountability. I ride Republicans all the time. I ride myself. I need to do more. I need to be better. I need to protect my community. I need to get more involved. I need to do this. We have to get more involved in primaries. But we're not going to absolve anybody. We're going to keep you voted for this campaign going over and over again. We just did it with Chicago last week. You voted for this. Chicago was a war zone. You bounced out Lori Lightfoot and ran to the polls to elect another communist who will actually be worse than Lori Lightfoot was. I'm done feeling sympathy. You voted for this. Stop voting like a freaking idiot. And if this guy can go from being well-spoken, clean-cut, to Drona, and Dr. King would have said, and there's a market for the second one, over the first one, maybe it's your fault. Maybe instead of mocking this guy, maybe we should mock the people who prefer that. Can you imagine preferring somebody who talked like that? How embarrassing that is. In any form, could you imagine hearing a politician speak like this and choosing that person? You like to hear that? Embarrassing. Stop voting for this. All right, we get to some emails. I'll get to the Bud Light thing here in a minute. Great news on that front. Very, very proud of all of us. We are apparently putting our money where our morals are, and I love that. So we have all that and so much more still to come before we get to that. Allow me to tell you about a great cause. Tunnel to Towers. They've been out there. Chris. I was on a roll there, and you mocking me, that hurts. Hey, go help out Tunnel to Towers, because they're taking care of widows and orphans. How about we just speak like normal people? They care about widows and orphans. All these cops getting ambushed and killed out there, families left without dad, without mom. Tunnel to Towers coming alongside them, helping them, building them an entire community in Florida, paying off mortgages, Gold Star families, catastrophically injured veterans. We never think about them, but
how many guys my age and younger out there, right, and younger are missing legs. They have a different quality of life than the one they had before they went overseas to fight for us. And all Tunnel to Towers ass is $11 a month. And I love that because, frankly, you don't know it's gone. You just sign up to give $11 a month automatically. Every single month, you are helping Tunnel to Towers with their mission to do good. And I don't want you to take my word for it. Go look up Tunnel to Towers' charity rating. You know we vet them a lot on this show before we'll ever accept them. When you give to Tunnel to Towers, it goes to the widows and orphans. It goes to the veterans. It goes to these people. Go to T2T.org. All right? T2T.org. Sign up to give $11 a month. All right. It's time to get to some emails and the Bud Light stuff. Hang on.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It's still real to me, damn it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and I forgot I never gave my example at the beginning of last segment like I promised I was going to. An example of this, quote, friendly neighborhood liberal, that idea needs to die. That doesn't exist. It's not a thing that exists. Do I need to remind you about COVID and what they did? Do I need to remind you, I believe it was St. Louis, opened up a tip line? Go read those tips. They leaked them online. Go read how many people sprinted to turn in their fellow Americans. I've seen complaints of people being reported for having a mask that fell below his nose, for not masking up outside. They couldn't wait to turn you into the state. Do I need to read you that poll again, showing the shocking number of Democrats who believed you should lose your job, lose your child for COVID reasons, vaccine reasons? But the right is too far behind. And if you want to know the greatest example of this, and you want to know why you and I have a mission to wake these people up because they're too far behind, you know who Ken Griffin is? If not, don't worry about it. It's not like you're an idiot, but Ken Griffin is a GOP mega donor. He is a Ron DeSantis fan, thinks the GOP should move on from Trump, but none of that really matters for this purpose. He's a mega donor. Now, before I get to Ken Griffin, I just want to remind you that we just lost a Supreme Court race in Wisconsin where we were outspent 14 million to 2 million. 7-1 that we were outspent. But that's $12 million, right? $12 million. Now, I realize that's a lot of money for you, a lot of money for me, but in political terms, that's not a lot of money. He needed $12 million to match the Democrat in spending. Ken Griffin, I got this from my buddy Cernovich, by the way. Ken Griffin, he's a mega donor, just stroked a $300 million check to Harvard. Harvard, the university that is not only openly discriminating against white people and Asians, the university that is churning out more committed communists every year than we can possibly count. And these communists are leaving Harvard and they're going into the elite leadership portions of our society because it's an elite university. So that next senator, that next CEO, that next president, that next judge, that they're coming from Harvard. Our mega donors, Ken Griffin and others, I don't even mean to single him out. Maybe he's a nice guy. Couldn't come up with $12 million to win a Supreme Court seat, and one that, keep in mind, the fact that we lost it might very well make the presidential race in 2024 unwinnable because of all the election shenanigans that are probably going to take place now in Wisconsin. So we lost that race, the race we had to win. You say you want Ron DeSantis as president. We had to win that race. Our guy, $2 million, and instead stroked a $300 million check to Harvard. Got a building named after himself, by the way. Very exciting. Very exciting. We have got to change our mentality. We are decades behind where the communists are, and you and I have a lot of work to do to wake these people up. Our mega donors are still out there funding the people who hate their guts. Hate their guts. That $300 million will be used for decades to attack everything Ken Griffin cares about. And yet, well, it's that old Republican way of thinking. No, I want the box seats at the football game. No, I want you to name the building after me. My alma mater, go Harvard, baby, woo! Harvard, year after year after year after year, is churning out a new committed communist that will attack you and destroy your liberty. And we pay for it. Couldn't come up with a few million for a Supreme Court seat in Wisconsin we had to have. But Harvard, have $300 million. Man, our donor class on the right is sorry. Beyond sorry. They're embarrassing. And they're just behind, man. They're behind. And we got to wake them up. All right? Look, everyone needs to wake up. You need to wake up. Your dog isn't eating good food. I needed to wake up. My dog wasn't eating good food. I have this anxiety-ridden dog, which is weird because he's spoiled by everyone else but me. I have this anxiety. What, Chris? The wife tried to tell me today that I love the dog more than her. And that's not true. That's not true. I had to take him to the groomer today because he's got this hair that we try to brush him all the time. We do, but his hair gets matted. So we have to take him every now and then and get buzzed down a little bit. And the big sissy sits and whines. Like, he's taken this 5-minute car ride 1,000 times. He sits and whines with anxiety, and then he'll lay his head on my shoulder, this big fluffy head stuffed there on my shoulder. And so I've got to scratch his ears. And then she's like, you're paying attention to the dog. Anyway, the dog, because of his anxiety, I'm sure, had digestive issues forever. And we just kept giving him food. We kept switching his food. No, he just needs new food. Well, there was no nutrition in any of the food. There's no nutrition in dog food. Your dog's joints went bad because he doesn't have nutrition. His eyes went bad. He doesn't have nutrition. His coat isn't as nice as it should be. He doesn't have nutrition. It's not your fault. You don't know. I didn't know. Dog food's dead. Get some Rough Greens. Pour it on his food. Your dog will love it. You will see a difference in your dog. That's why they give out a free bag. Free Jumpstart trial bag. Roughgreens.com/Jesse. All right? Roughgreens.com/Jesse. You hear this little tidbit from MSNBC?
We found that 70% of Americans admit to being stressed, with half saying that they're living paycheck to paycheck.
That's not good. That is not good. All right. Let's get to some emails. Dear anti-communist marriage counselor, what are your thoughts on musicals? My wife loves them. I hate them. Please settle this dispute and put one of us in our place. And he said, P.S., will there be an anti-communist manifesto musical? There should be, Chris. There should be. Written, obviously, by me. But I also, what, Chris? I also, what? I know I'm tone deaf. We'll bring in someone to handle the tone. Someone else can handle the tone. One. Two. Needs to be directed by me. I've always wanted to be a director. And one of those guys that sits there in the chair. Cut! Cut! I need more from you! Charlie, move the lights over here! I've made for this role. Director Jesse. That's one. Two. Musicals were invented by Satan. I took the wife to New York City a few months ago, hanging out with the WOR boys, Tom and Scott, and we went to dinner, and it was a blast up there. And she made me promise that I would take her to a Broadway show. And I did. I took her to Chicago, and it's famous, I guess. I guess everything. And we sat down in this theater, and they were singing and dancing and singing and dancing. It couldn't possibly have been more brutal and boring. I think it was over 2 hours long, if I remember right. And she just loved it. She thought it was the greatest thing ever. And she appreciated me taking her there. So it's not like she wrote me about this, but she couldn't understand in her mind why I didn't like it. Musicals are just the worst thing ever. Just the worst. They're so cheesy. It's just awful. All right. You know what? We have good news. Ready for some good news? I have good news. We are waking up on the right. We are waking up. It's happening slowly. Will it happen in time? I don't know. But I have good, good things to talk about. You ready to talk about some good things? Hang on.
I'm Maria Konnikova.
And I'm Nate Silver.
And our new podcast, Risky Business, is a show about making better decisions. We're both journalists who moonlight as poker players, and that's the lens we're going to use to approach this entire show.
We're going to be discussing everything from high-stakes poker to personal questions.
Like whether I should call a plumber or fix my shower myself.
And of course, we'll be talking about the election, too.
Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.